Good evening, everyone.
Warm
word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one that is gathered in, and we do pray that the Lord will meet with us and that we will know the Lord's blessing and his presence amongst us here in the house of God this evening. If you're tuning in online, we do extend to you a warm word of welcome as well. Wherever you are, we want to thank you for joining us, and may the Lord bless you and speak to you through his word this evening. We do remind you that tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. commences our holiday Bible club, and God willing, weather permitting, it will be outside on the grass Monday through to Friday. And we do, as we mentioned this morning, encourage you to remember it in prayer, as you have been doing. And may the Lord's blessing be upon this week, and may his safety and his hand of safety be upon the bus and upon each one as they come to the meetings. And may we know the Lord's help and presence amongst us. We do pray that the children will be gathered out throughout this week, that we will know the help of the Lord and the blessing of God upon us. And with the Bible Club on Monday to Friday, therefore then, the prayer meeting on Wednesday night has been pushed back slightly to 8:15, just for the 1 week only. And it will be a season of prayer, and we're focusing completely upon the Holiday Bible Club, and we will be spending that season of prayer specifically for the remaining nights off that week. So there won't be any broadcast online, and we're leaving our series in 1 Peter just for this week to spend the time in prayer. And then the service is next Sunday at the normal times, 11:30 and 7 p.m, and the seasons of prayer before both services as well, one in the minor hall and then in the evening here in the main church building. And we do thank each one that comes faithfully and praise for the work of God here before the services. We do encourage you to keep doing it, and even for others to join with us that will know the presence of God and will know that power of prayer even behind the services before they commence. And so we're going to commence our service this evening. We're going to turn to the hymn 672. The hymn 672, you'll find it on the page 446 down at the bottom of the page. There's a call. Comes ringing o'er the restless, we have send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue and there are souls to save, send the light, send the light. And we'll stand after we receive the introduction and sing 672.
Yeah.
look to the Lord in prayer once again at this stage of our service. How much we need afresh the help of God tonight. And let us be praying to that end, that God will draw near. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee, the living to praise Thee. We do rejoice in the lively hope this night that we have in Christ. We thank Thee for the gospel light that has shined into our darkened souls. We confess, O God, that we were once strangers to grace and to God. We were once in that spiritual darkness. We were blind, but praise God, now we see. We thank Thee for that light. Oh, what a glorious light it is this night that we have to even shine forth and to proclaim forth. We think of Paul and that road to Damascus, and how that light came down brighter than the noonday sun. That light that stopped him in his very tracks. Oh God, we rejoice at that power of the gospel still there today. We rejoice at the power of the gospel still there to save souls from the guttermost to the uttermost. We thank and praise Thee that Thou art still saving souls. We thank and praise Thee that the gospel is still going forward with power. That the gospel is going forward and bringing forth much fruit. We do rejoice in this. Across the world, souls are being saved. Across the world, the gospel is reaching into the darkened corners, into those lands and those nations that are under great powers of wickedness. And yet the gospel is coming in its yet greater power. We thank and praise Thee for this. Lord, it is our prayer that even as the gospel is having effect in other countries, that once again it will have effect in this country. We do pray, O God, that it will come forward with power tonight, not only from this pulpit, but indeed from our other pulpits, from each and every place where the gospel is heralded forth, that the Spirit of God will drive it home, and the Spirit of God will work in hearts and save many precious souls. We think of the summertime, we think of the Bible clubs. And oh God, even as we think of our own, we're mindful of others that will be taking place this week coming. We think of the many right across our nation. We think of the one that will be taking place in Castle Derg. We think of those that are taking place in Cumber and Bangor and Lisburn and Corrine. And Lord, other places as well. We think of our children evangelists. We think of students that are taking them. We think of individuals that are, oh God, stepping up as it were to the plate and bringing that word to the boys and girls. Lord, bless them and use them. And know that the next generation, this youth of today, will be won for Christ. Lord, that they will not simply be swallowed up in the mire of sin, but rather that they will find that sure and that firm foundation in Jesus Christ. Lord, remember us this night for good. Remember this congregation as a whole. Bless every individual and bless every family. Bless, O God, every need at this particular time. Lord, undertake. Give that grace that is needed. We do rejoice that Thy grace is sufficient. And Thy strength is made perfect in our weakness. Oh, that we will, Lord, have that grace to accept the providences, to accept the trials even that God places upon us. And even through them that we will be brought forth. We will be refined in the fire and we will be brought forth even with those blemishes having been eradicated. Oh God, undertake for us. Undertake for each one, we pray Thee. Remember our youth. Remember our children. Remember, oh God, our working individuals within our congregation. Keep Thy hand upon them. Watch over them in their workplaces. Be unto them all that they would need. Remember our elderly as well. We think of those that are here with us and we thank Thee for them. We think of those, O God, no longer able to join with us. We pray that Thou will continue to be with them and to bless them. And, O God, may each one know the presence of Almighty God. May they know answers to prayer, answers for loved ones, answers for self in relation, O God, to health and to the different needs of the day. And Father, even throughout everything, may each one have their eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord. Lord, may this congregation go forward. May this congregation know the blessing of God upon it. May it know the power of God upon it. Lord, undertake for each one, I ask. Lord, be with us this night. Lord, help us. Help us in the reading of thy word. Help, O God, in the singing of the hymns. Bless as we lift up our voices. Bless our sister in the organ. Lord, bless then as we come around thy word, as we hear it preached. O, settle our minds and our hearts. And may there be that word in season for each one, I pray. Hear us this night. Be near to us and do us good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read some verses from Acts chapter 17. I invite you to open your Bibles there, Acts and the chapter 17. The last time that we were in our studies, we came to the end of the chapter 16. And we read and we considered, even as they come to the end after being released from prison, and they entered into the house of Lydia, it tells us in the final verse, and after they had seen the brethren and comforted them, then they departed. Their time in Philippi had come to an end. And so we follow on with Luke's account. In chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his infallible truth to our hearts. 513 is the hymn we want to sing at this stage before we come to consider these verses. 513, the page is 383. "Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise." 513, and let's stand again as we sing unto the Lord. Amen. Let's have our Bibles open, please, in Acts, in the chapter 17. I'm going to consider these verses this evening under the heading, Spreading the Word of God. Spreading the Word of God. Let's have a moment's prayer, please. Each and every one, let me encourage you, pray that the Lord will speak individually and collectively, that we will know this voice of the Lord again this evening. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the service in which we find ourselves, the service of the King. We thank thee, O God, for the commission that has been given to each one of thy people to spread the gospel, to spread the word of God, to tell the lost souls, to tell the sinners that salvation is of the Lord. Oh, Father, bless this night, we ask thee. We thank thee for help given already in this service. And Lord, even now as we come around thy word, oh, how much we need thee. How much we need the help of the Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall. Fall afresh upon us. Break us. Melt us. Mold us. Fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The close of Acts in the chapter 16 brings us to the close of Paul and Silas' time and ministry in the city of Philippi. And certainly as we went through that chapter 16 and as you consider all that took place, it certainly was a great and a memorable time. Souls were saved. Church had been founded in that city. And yes, they had suffered. Yes, they had endured hardship. Paul and Silas had been taken roughly, had been beaten and had their backs opened. They had been cast into the prison cell for that night. But all of it was worth it. All of it was for the cause of Christ. Paul would write at a later date to the church of Philippi. And he would state categorically, Philippians 3 in the verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Notice his next words, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He counts all things but dung. He wasn't looking to comforts of life. He wasn't looking to material things of life. He wasn't looking to health and strength for himself in life. He was looking Christ. He was looking Christ and his person. He was looking Christ and his gospel. That's all that meant. And everything else went into the background, as it were. Christ meant everything. Christ was all he sought. Having left Philippi, we're told in the verse 1 that they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. Now, within that little detail, there are a number of things that come to mind. First of all, they didn't stop in Amphipolis or Apollonia. They didn't preach there. Nothing's recorded. It just simply tells us that they passed through. The Spirit of God didn't tarry them. The Spirit of God didn't say, preach. It wasn't their duty, it wasn't their commission at that time to stop in those towns. God said, move on, keep going. And so they left Amphipolis, they left Apollonia, they never opened their mouths to any of them. And then they come to Thessalonica. But you know that journey that they took? It was a wonderful journey. That journey from Philippi to Thessalonica was roughly about 100 miles. Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. It also was not only a great city, but it was a seaport. It was a place of much trade, much commerce. It was a very important economic center for the Roman Empire. Many ships came and went. Much trade, much business, much wares, much merchandise came through Thessalonica. Paul and Silas, in the years to come, would look back and Paul would write to that city of the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 and the verse 8. And he highlighted not only was it a place of commerce, not only was it a place of trade, but Thessalonica became the hub, as it were, for the gospel outreach. It became the center of activity for the missionaries, for the going forth of God's word. Because he says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." In other words, missionaries came down to Thessalonica, they got on the ships, and they went forth. But you know, behind all of that was another wonderful detail. Because Rome, seeing how important Thessalonica was, built a massive road that ran the whole way from Philippi to Thessalonica. You see, Rome and its empires that spread throughout all of Europe at that time and then went further east, they started realizing we need good infrastructure. We need good roads to be able to spread and to be able to move our troops quickly, to be able to move our people from one part of the empire to another. And so they started to build roads. And the road that went from Philippi to Thessalonica was known as the Ignatian Highway. And what in reality that did, Rome thought, oh, this is helping us. But what happened with God's hand over it all was this helped the spread of the gospel. Because now missionaries and men of God, such as Paul and Silas, even as they made their journey, it's as if they're traveling in a motorway instead of a stony dust road. They could get there quicker, get there easier. And year after year after that, as missionaries would come and go from Thessalonica, as they would send men out, not only in the boats, but also in the roads, there's the road that's laid for them. You know, it always amazes me and it always causes me to rejoice when you consider that man does things for itself, but yet God can take those things and can use them for his honor and for his glory. I think of the time in the scriptures whenever Augustus Caesar, he says, right, it's time for a census. Everybody go home to your own cities, go home to your own towns. Augustus Caesar had four of those types of census over his reign. One of them was used to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem so that scripture could be fulfilled and the Son of God could come forth from Mary, be born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger. I think also in the 1430s, the Gutenberg printing press came into being. That great invention that was able to print pamphlets, be able to print books very, very quickly. No longer would a man, a scribe, need to sit there and write word after word, page after page. Suddenly they had the ability, had it all there, that they could do it within seconds. Because come 1517, the Reformation was coming. All of the pamphlets that Luther would write against the Roman Catholic Church, all of the Bibles that Tyndale would produce, bring it into the English language, there's the printing press ready to go. So that even that desire of Tyndale to have the ploughboy having the scripture is in his hands, there's the ability to do it. My Mr. Gutenberg, whoever he was, never believed I'm going to have all of this in place for the Christians. But God had it all. Child of God, it's a wonderful encouragement even for us in our lives that whenever we're seeking to spread the word of God, God can take any providence. God can take anything. And even individuals, and they're seeking to better themselves, governments seeking to do this, that, or the other thing, to better themselves, whether it be for the greed and economy, yet God can take it and God can use it. You know, God's providence always ensures that God's will comes to pass. And so I encourage you even this evening, take heart that God can rule and overrule, that his word goes forward, that the gospel continues to spread, that the church of Jesus Christ continues to grow. You know, Paul and Silas, they arrive in Thessalonica. And as they come into that city and as they start to abode or start to abide in that city, God again begins to move. The word of God spread abroad. And as we consider the spreading of God's word this evening, I want to leave three things that come from this passage with you in the time that remains. I want you to see, firstly, in the verse number 2, the fellowship. The fellowship. Because it simply says there in verse number 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Paul, as his manner was. Now, that opening statement, it can be glossed all over so quickly. It's one of those statements that you can just jump over. You're just rushing on to see what's going to happen in Thessalonica. You're just rushing on to see how God's going to move. And so quickly you can jump over those words. Paul, as his manner was. What was his manner? It was to attend the house of God. Tells us there, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, for 3 Sabbath days, he went to the house of God. Let me just say in passing, it doesn't mean he only spent 3 weeks in that city. I believe Paul spent a considerable amount of time in Thessalonica. You study through the book of Philippians, and he mentions in the book of Philippians how on 2 occasions the Philippian church sent him money. Sent him encouragement, sent him money in which to survive within Thessalonica. He didn't take a wage off the Thessalonians. The Philippians, under God, provided all of his need on 2 different occasions. So I believe on more than 3 weeks passed before Paul would ever leave and move on to Berea. But it tells us, as his manner was, he went to church. Every Sabbath day it was his manner. This is my custom. This is who I am. God's house is open. I'm going. No, it reminds me of someone else in Scripture. Reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us in our Savior's earthly ministry. Look 4 in the verse 16. It says he came to Nazareth, speaking of the Lord Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. As his custom was. In other words, as his manner was. No one commentator said this. Paul was not an occasional attendant. Jesus Christ did not go now and then. The first Christians lived in the church, and they only existed elsewhere. Christ gave himself in his earthly ministry. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue. Christ is taken up into glory. The church begins, that little church, that infancy church, those early days of the New Testament church. And even here, Paul, as he's moving from town to town, city to city, he's not blessed with the great congregations to sit with. But what was his custom? What was his manner? It's God's day. I'm going to God's house. And that could be said of Christian after Christian in those days. Indeed, it could be said that they went and worshipped every day. Remember what was said of the church after the day of Pentecost? Acts 2, verse 46, or the verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46 of the same passage, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. No, child of God, if you compare the New Testament church of the first century to the New Testament church of the 21st century, how much of a difference are you going to see? Because there in the day of Pentecost, the believers and those believers in the days that followed, and year after year, because remember, by the time we're coming to Paul in Thessalonica, many years have passed, decades have passed. And yet, what was the testimony? It's time to go to God's house. It's time to go to God's house. You know, I think to myself, what it's going to be like in heaven. You might say I have some imagination. My wife would probably agree with you. But I think of the believers in glory. I think of the church of the 21st century, and maybe you're meeting the saints of God from the first century. And over the course of all eternity, you sit down and you have a conversation with those from the first century. You compare experiences. What was a life like for the Christian in the first century compared to what was a life like for the Christian in the 21st century? The first century Christian, they're like, oh, we didn't have a church. We just moved from house to house. Whoever had the biggest house, that's where we went that night. And my, we actually went the next night, and we went the next night, and we went the next night. And well, we decided we'll go the next night too. Then they turn to the 21st century Christian. Now, what was it like in your day? Oh, we had a building. It was warm, it was spacious, it was comfortable. Oh, did you meet every day? No, we didn't meet every day. We met twice on a Sunday. The doors were opened on the Wednesday night as well, with a midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. There were meetings for the children, there were meetings for young people. We had occasional special meetings as well. And oh, so you only really had 2 days in a week to go. Well, did you go every day? Did you go those two occasions, those 2 days? No. It's going to be a very uneasy and embarrassing conversation. You know, I think of that verse, Scripture. Says about how the Lord is going to wipe away the tears in heaven. Some people say, oh, there are no tears in heaven. There are tears in heaven. God wipes them away. See, when we meet our Savior, and we look at our Savior, I believe the tears are going to flow. How could he love us? Because we didn't deserve it. And we'll look around, maybe at the other saints of God, and we'll look at those that went through the hardest and the most awful circumstances throughout their lives. We'll look at those that we read about in Scripture. We'll look upon those that we've seen and we've read about even through church history. And we'll think about their cause. We'll think about their efforts. And then we'll think, what did we do in our lives? We couldn't even go twice a week. Now, I'm not lambasting those that have genuine reasons. You know my heart. I've said it before. There are times or occasions genuinely we cannot make it to the house of God. But there are those that never make that effort. They'll sit at home quicker than they'll come to a meeting. My friend, if you're here tonight, don't sit at home on Wednesday night. My heart rejoiced last Wednesday night to see how many came out. That was the highest on a Wednesday night in a long time. And there were others that couldn't come for genuine reasons, and if they could have came, they would have been here. Are you going to be here this Wednesday night? We're starting at 8:15. We're spending the time completely in prayer. I've said it week after week. I said again, young people are welcome to come. Older people are welcome to come. Everyone's welcome to come, not only on a Sunday morning. They're all welcome to come on a Sunday night. Not only on a Sunday night, they're all welcome to come on a Wednesday night. And be lovely, even after all restrictions are gone and all of the different things are taken away, that we still have to meet in here on a Wednesday night because there's too many. That everyone still wants to come. I say to those that are tuning in online, if you're in this area, we'd love to see you. We'd love to see you filling up these pews with us. We'd love to see you coming in and giving us a headache at this time of thinking, where are we going to fit everyone? How are we going to fit more and more? Are we going to have to open doors here, fill this room here, whatever? I know churches in our land and they're filling every single room in their building because of the distancing. But there are little pockets in different rooms all around their church. Why? Because so many people want to come. And Paul, as his custom and manner was, he went to God's house. Brothers and sisters, may that be our custom, not out of tradition, but out of love. Because we're going to go on now to see, and it's very clear what's upon Paul's heart every time he went to the house of God. Because I want you to see with me, secondly, his faithfulness. In verse 2 and verse 3, it tells us Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You want to know what was on Paul's mind? You want to know what was on Paul's heart? It's Christ. You want to know why he went every single Sunday? Why his custom, his manner was to go to the house of God? It was Christ. He wasn't doing it out of tradition. He wasn't doing it to tick a box. He wasn't doing it simply because it was a Sunday. He was doing it because he loved Christ. And every time he went there, he went rejoicing. Rejoicing his Savior was alive. Rejoicing his sins were dealt with. His heart was full of love. The text tells us also not only had he that love for the Lord even in his worship, but it tells us of his faithfulness. Because for those 3 Sabbaths he faithfully presented Christ. That's the only reason he went to Thessalonica. He went to Thessalonica, why? To talk and to spread the gospel, to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, to present and promote that doctrine of a living Savior. Church today, that's why we're here. That's why there's a church in 6 Mile Cross. It's to present Christ. You take the message of Christ out of this church, you take away the whole point of this church being here. Because Christ is the foundation stone. Christ is the head. You take the gospel out of this place, you take Christ out of this place ceases to have an existence in terms of a function. This building, this church is Christ's house to present and promote Christ. The text here, these verses, verse 2 and 3, highlights how he was faithful. Verse 2, you look at the verbs that are used. He reasoned with them. In other words, he had a discussion with them. He spoke to them. He allowed them to respond. It wasn't simply the case that he got up and preached and then walked out and left them. He didn't just preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and then leave them with all of their questions. He spoke, he explained the doctrine to them of Jesus Christ. He explained the gospel to them. And then with patience, He allowed them to respond. He allowed that conversation, the questions to be brought back to. He sought to teach them. And not only did he reason with them, but then the verse 3 tells us he opened. He opened what? He opened the scriptures. He used what he had in those days. He used the Old Testament. He showed forth the covenant of grace. He showed forth the coming of the Messiah. He showed forth that Christ was the Messiah. You know, again, we see that parallel with Christ. You think of our Savior in the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. The two disciples, what are they going to say after the Lord has left? Verse 32 of Luke 24. The testimony that's given, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And listen, while he opened to us the scriptures. See, child of God, you want to spread the gospel, you want to spread the word of God, you need to open it. Message of the gospel, it's found in the book, you need to open the book. You can't preach salvation out of a closed book. Salvation's found in the book. You want to teach someone, you want to highlight, you want to bring them to the doctrine of Christ. Where are you going to find it? You find it in the book. In the verse 3 also, not only had he reasoned with them and opened to them, but then it tells us he alleged. In other words, he promoted. And everything he taught them came out of the book. It didn't come out of his own mind. It wasn't his own thoughts. It wasn't his own education or anything like that. What he said, what he alleged, what he promoted, all came out of the book. The scriptures were his evidence. He brought forth to them, he says, I believe the death and the resurrection of Christ is the way of salvation. I'll prove it. He opens a book. Takes them to the passage. And he shows it to them. In the verse 3 also it tells us that he preached. Look at the end of verse 3. It says, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He published the gospel. I believe he declared it in the ears of every single person that was in that house. I believe everyone that had ears to hear that day, I believe everyone within the earshot in that house of God, Paul made sure every single one of them heard it. See, isn't that the truth? Gospel light we were singing about earlier, it's not to be hidden under a bushel. It's not to be whispered. It's not simply to be passed behind the closed door, as it were. It is to be spread. It is to be declared. It's to be put into the ears of men and of women. Isn't that what Christ commanded his disciples? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul would write to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, the verse 9, we preached unto you the gospel of God. He didn't leave it there either. He didn't simply leave it hanging in the air that they could take it or leave it. Sometimes it's a case you preach a message and then it's just left, as it were, in the air. And well, if someone wants it, they can grab it. If not, still left. Because 1 Thessalonians 2, the verse 11, Paul's testimony of his faithfulness concludes with these words, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. See, for those three Sabbath days, he opened up the book. For three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them. For three Sabbath days, he alleged to them. For three Sabbath days, he preached to them. And then what else did he do? He exhorted them, he comforted them, he charged them. Others, what did he do? Every single man, woman, boy, and girl that was in the house of God, He pleaded with them. And he makes sure that every single one has heard. Every single one has understood. And every single one's blood is no longer in his hands. See, even as, what does he say at the end of that? He charged every one of them as a father doth the children. Before he left them, he made sure he was blameless of every single one of their souls. See, in the day of judgment, not one individual that was in the house of God in Thessalonica, there's not one will be able to point a finger at Paul and say he didn't help. There's not one will be able to point a finger at Paul and say he left me confused. He pleaded with them. He reasoned with them. He alleged it. He opened it to them. He showed them from the youngest to the oldest, this is the gospel. It's the only way of salvation. My friend, that's faithfulness. That's what it takes to spread the word of God. It's not simply saying to someone you need to be saved and then just leaving. Not simply saying you're heading to hell and then just leaving. It's reasoning with them. It's opening to them. It's alleging to them. It's preaching to them. It's not easy. It's hard work. My friend, it's the hardest work you can ever do. I remember something that was said to my father as he was going to Bible college. My father, many years ago, just as he was coming to the end of his secular employment before going into Bible college, he worked what was known then, in those days, as a Ballymena Observer, as a branch of the Belfast Telegraph. And as he handed in his notice and as he was leaving, his boss said to him, he said, Robert, you're going to be selling the hardest thing ever to sell, yet it's free. That's the gospel. It is the hardest thing to sell to men and women. Yet it won't cost them a penny. It's the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. It's that work that's mentally exhausting. It's that work that's spiritually exhausting of a man and a woman. I used to do 60, 70 hour weeks in a drilling rig. Let me tell you, easier doing that than spreading the gospel. Paul testified of that. Because over there in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, he says this to them. He says, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, the words labor and travail, they give the thought of what? Pain. Suffering. Sorrow. Hardship. That's what Paul testifies of. Sunday after Sunday, I sought to spread the word of the Lord, but it was labor. It was travail. It's all part of faithfulness. It's all part of spreading the word of God. You want to spread the word of God faithfully, it comes at a cost. But thank God, thirdly and finally, there's fruit. There's fruit. You look at the end of the verse 4, tells us that some of them believed. That's speaking of the Jews. And consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks or the Gentiles, a great multitude. Of the chief women, not a few. And then you look at the words that are found at the end of verse 6. These that have turned the world upside down. Now I think of the words of Psalm 126, verse 5. just tie that to Paul's confession to the Thessalonians of how he labored, he'd revealed, he was laboring night and day. Psalm 126, verse 5, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." In verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Isn't that the experience? Isn't that the reality for the Apostle Paul? He sowed in tears, he reaped in joy. He went forward with that message. He went forward carrying, bearing the precious seed. He's going forth and he's weeping. The travailing, the sorrow, the hardship is there. But yet here he comes again. He comes doubtless rejoicing. He's bringing his sheaves with him. The Apostle Paul there, as he spread the word of God, he had the joy of seeing a great harvest. There were some Jews. There were many Gentiles. And even the elite in the city, of the chief women, not a few. Now, of course, that's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Because so often those that have all of the money, so often those that have all of the power, are the last that you'll ever see coming to Christ. And yet here's the words in first, or speaking of Thessalonica, of the chief woman, not a few. Thank God that whenever we spread his word, he blesses it. When the word is faithfully sown, it doesn't return void, but rather accomplishes that which the Lord pleases. It prospers in the thing whereunto it's sent. And the seed was sown, was watered. God gave the increase. No, whenever we consider the fruitfulness, we've mentioned this before. The fruit, we leave that to the Lord. We're called to be faithful. The first two points are on us. We're called to fellowship. We're called not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're called to come together in God's house with God's people. We're called to fellowship. We're called to be faithful. Point three is up to the Lord. The fruit's in his hands. Now, I was struck afresh whenever I looked at those verses in Acts 2. Even in relation to this message this evening. Because whenever you go to Acts 2 and it tells you of how they were committed, those new believers after the day of Pentecost, the 3,000 extra souls brought into the church, they were committed to the fellowship. They were committed to coming together. They were committed to gathering, to breaking bread together, to following the apostles' doctrine, all that that entailed. And then what happened? God continued to give the increase. The 3,000 souls wasn't the end, because daily added to the church such as should be saved. You know, there is a connection, I believe. We need to be faithful, both in the work and in the worship. We need to be faithful to come together. Not sitting at home whenever we could be here. Not sitting at home choosing the easy way out, choosing the easy option. Rather, if we're fit and able to come, if we're not taken away by another necessity, and we have the opportunity to gather to God's house Sunday morning and Sunday evening and prayer meeting night, that we come. We have that fellowship. We're faithful in the fellowship. We're faithful in the worship. We're faithful in the work. And then we just keep looking to the Lord for the fruit. Paul had it. Silas, Paul, greatly blessed and often used of the Lord there in Thessalonica. A great church was founded. A church, as I mentioned, because of its area, its location, was then used as a thrusting forth, as that launch pad, putting missionaries onto the boats, sending them out, sending the missionaries then up the roads and that Ignatian highway, all coming as a result of what? Paul's faithfulness, the Lord's blessing. My, what lessons there are even for us today, that we would be faithful in the small things, in the few things, that then the Lord can trust us and bestow upon us the greater things. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's pray together. Father, how our hearts rejoice when we see the Spirit of God moving there in those days in Thessalonica. We thank thee for every soul that was saved. We thank thee for those Jews that were saved, the many Gentiles, and those of the chief woman. We rejoice in the testimony of the heathen. Oh, what a glorious testimony it is, that the preachers turned the world upside down. Oh, how much we need that in our day. Oh God, how we need this land of Northern Ireland turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Enable us as thy people. Enable us, O God, to be faithful in our work and in our worship. And then, O God, we look to thee. We place all of our hope, all of our confidence, and all of our trust in thee, that I will bring the increase. Bless us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and do us good throughout this week. Remember each night. Remember the going forth of thy word. Bless it. Use it. And glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name. Amen.